Hello, and welcome to the Creative Viz podcast, where we discuss topics in architecture, development, and visual design. Today, I'm thrilled to have Darren Akinchi with ACE Project Marketing Group in Kelowna, BC, and he is the VP of Marketing and Strategy. Welcome, Darren. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy that we're able to do this. I know we've been talking for a while and really glad that we're finally able to make it happen. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time. I know it's been a busy year for a lot of us, and it's just good to take a moment out and reflect on how things are going. So can you tell us a little bit about your role with ACE?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, before I get into that, I guess a little bit of my background. I grew up in Southeast Asia, moved here to, well, actually moved to Vancouver for university, and right out of school, got right into the real estate industry. I was lucky enough to get a job with a developer on the west side of Vancouver. I mean, what a great way to start my career, because I got to try so many things. And that's when I really started to lean towards marketing. And then from there, worked for one of the largest sales and marketing companies in Vancouver, and worked there for almost a decade. Amazing experience working with some of the best people in the industry, amazing clients and developers that I got to work with, worked with a lot of First Nations groups on master plan communities, and then also got to grow that team. When I first started there, there were 40 people. By the time I left, there were about 140 people.
Wow, that's a big group.
Yeah. It was exciting, which then takes me to where I am now with ACE. My wife and I decided to move to Kelowna at the beginning of the year. And that's where I found ACE. And my role there is really to oversee the marketing team and the project managers, but to ensure that we're just delivering on, you know, what the client's needs are, what the client's goals are. We're also in fairly rapid growth here at ACE. So there's a lot of focus on how I'm scaling systems and processes.
That's great. Yep. So it sounds like you have plenty of experience in growth marketing.
Yeah. I'd say so. We've definitely implemented a lot of systems in the past, and seeing teams grow from just a few people to, I was managing in my last role, a team of just over 20 people. That's and great. So, yeah, you definitely need a lot of systems and processes to do that efficiently.
Before we jump into that, I'd be curious if something triggered the move from development to the agency side of things.
Oh, that's a good question. When I was working for that developer, they were a developer on the west side of Vancouver who had their boom more so in the 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And I was at a point in my career where I wanted to expand my own personal brand. I wanted to learn from the best. I wanted to see more of the industry. And when you're working for a developer, you get very focused on what your projects are. You're launching one, maybe two projects a year, if you're lucky. When you go work for an agency, you're launching one or two projects a month. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just wanted to put myself in a position where I'd be able to see and experience as much as possible and get into as many developer boardrooms as I could. But yeah, it was Rennie is the name of the company. And it was definitely a great place to do that.
I can definitely relate. When I was an architect, you would be on a project for years. And then now it's like, I'm in and out in just a few weeks. So lot in common there. Awesome. Well, so obviously a big shift going to Kelowna, but also maybe a smaller agency. Tell us, give us a little bit of background.
I'm so happy here. I'm so happy I found this new family. So ACE is a full service marketing agency. So similar to the company I was working with previously, but they're based in the Okanagan. They have a very diversified portfolio. We mostly are dealing with pre-sale multifamily projects. So a diversified portfolio, meaning that we have projects all the way from Cranbrook to the other end of BC over on the island, and pretty diversified product type as well. We do specialize in resort projects. So some examples of that would be our Red Mountain project, which is like this alpine master plan community in Rosland. I mean, it sold $106 million in real estate over the last two seasons. So some really incredible results there. And another one is that's in the midst of launching is Hallow Nelson, which is another master plan resort project that is actually going to be one of the first Troon golf courses in Canada. And
oh, really?
That client has multiple sites across BC that they're going to be launching that brand. Some really cool resort projects that we get to work on. And it's definitely a bit of a niche for Ace as well.
And so just to be clear, these are for sale residential properties?
That's right. Yeah.
And primarily multifamily?
Multifamily is what we deal with. But we also have a few single family home projects that we work on as well.
That's great. So yeah. I understand you've only been in Kelowna for a short time, but how has 2024 been so far? How is the market there, I should say?
It's no mystery, right? Like the market has definitely been a little bit slower in 2024. Interest rates, I mean, similar to, I'm sure, what you guys are experiencing.
Sure.
States, right? Like the inflation has been slowing things down. Interest rates have been high. But specifically for BC and for Kelowna, there's been a lot of government intervention, you know, a lot of demand side measures that are aimed at just, I guess, slowing down demand. And so that has really put some brakes on the market. One in particular for BC and that has affected Kelowna has been a short-term rental ban.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kelowna being a bit of a resort town, a lot of people have mm-hmm. second homes here. A lot of people bought property based on the fact that they were able to have short-term rentals like Airbnbs.
Sure.
And so with that being canceled, a lot of people have put those properties back onto the market. So we've seen a pretty big increase in inventory because of those measures.
And so when people have the rental property, was that driving up the overall costs to enter the market? Is that some of the underlying issues there?
I would say so. They were trying to just hold back speculation, but some of the results now, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of other unforeseen results as well on the entire economy. I don't really have a good barometer on what it was like before, sure. But a lot of the people that I talk to here are saying that the restaurants aren't as full during the summer. All of the tourism industry is really suffering because people don't have a place to stay when they come here, right?
Oh,
hotel costs are through the roof compared to what they were the year before. Yeah, I mean, so to put it into context, right? Like Kelowna, Central Okanagan, right now has over 2,500 active listings on the MLS. Okay. And Victoria has around 3,000 active listings on the MLS. Right. So 100% more people, but 16 more listings. Right. So that shows you the effects.
Well, interesting. Yeah. So do you see signs of it coming back into balance?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. It's definitely getting better, right? Like, because we've had the interest rate cuts, that is, you know, starting to gain traction now. So we're seeing it on our projects. Like we're actually seeing those investors slowly start to come back. That buying power is starting to come back to the market as well. I think the important thing to remember here is that in the long term, there are so many people that want to come to this part of the world. We are always going to have really good immigration numbers. I think BC has a net migration of around 150 to 175,000 people a year. Last year, you know, BC only built, you know, around 50,000, just over 50,000 homes. And that pattern is pretty consistent. There's always more people coming here than we are building homes for. So that is always going to have good upward pressure on prices. And we're seeing that now, even with all of this inventory, we're not seeing the prices of real estate go down that much. People are really, people hold out, right?
Yeah. We're seeing that as well. It's expensive to move with the interest rates being high. If you're locked into a 3% mortgage, it can be really difficult to all of a sudden go to 7 or something. So then does that bode well for new development, say in the next 12, 24 months?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think in 2024, you saw a lot of developers who didn't have to launch push things a little bit. Like, okay, let's see how the fall goes. And now you're seeing maybe a few projects push into the spring. But I have this conversation a lot with our clients. It's really dependent on what their needs are. Yeah. It's not this like one size fits all, just don't launch a project now. There are some cases where it actually makes sense for you to go. There's definitely opportunities where there's less competition in certain markets right now. And you really want to take advantage of those opportunities. This is all about long-term thinking. Yeah. And in BC, you have, I think the stat is around, you have $400 billion of clear title real estate. So these are homes that do not owe a dollar, $400 billion. And that, you know, that is going to drive a lot of the real estate transactions in the future, especially as we're seeing this big transfer of wealth go from boomers to millennials. Mm-hmm. Like that is what's going to drive a lot of NBC. So
interesting. That's massive. So can you tell us, are there any other big challenges that might be top of mind for you at the moment?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the big challenges for us, I alluded to this earlier, but we're growing so fast at ACE.
Right.
Well, one thing I didn't get to mention earlier is that the group of people at ACE, they are such a wonderful group of people. They have been a small group that have been wearing many hats and working really, really hard and putting so much heart into what they do. So one of the challenges as we are growing so fast and as we have these opportunities start to present themselves to us, it's about making sure that we grow in the right way and that we grow with the right people that share our same passion and that share our same values and that just want to work really hard and do cool things.
That's great. Well, it sounds like the timing might be especially fortuitous, just given that you're not in a particularly hot part of the cycle, that you can build some of that infrastructure in anticipation of the next wave.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it felt that way.
Right.
I wish it felt that way. I think when you're in these slower markets, I guess a lot of the time, especially on the agency side, you have to put more into it. Yeah. There's a grind involved and sometimes you don't see the big results that you want to, but it's so important for you to just stay consistent and keep on doing the small things, keep on doing the little things, making sure you're staying close to your clients. So it ends up feeling quite busy.
Yeah, you still got your hands full for sure.
But the other thing that's helping our growth as well and that gives us more opportunities is that we're also affiliated with Oakwind, which is a brokerage here.
Okay.
So they're actually a brokerage in Vancouver and I think they have over 800 agents there, but they have over 100 agents here in the Okanagan as well. So being able to dip into that pool and have that connection and have that support from that brokerage also gives us that opportunity to be able to grow in the right way and find the right salespeople to work on the right projects.
Interesting. So yeah, just really quick with ACE, you typically work with developers is that your clients?
Yeah. Sorry if I,
everybody does it a little differently. And so it just clarifies some of these things. All good.
That's right. So as a full service sales and marketing company, we are hired by developers to take on that sales and marketing portion of the business. So by full service, meaning that we get involved at the very beginning. And this is actually where ACE is a little bit different, where we get involved in some cases at the capital raise portion of the projects. And from there, moving through the approval process, advising on design and product, creating a sales and marketing campaign, launching it, rolling it out in the market, and selling that all the way through to completion. And then we also help out with the completion and the closing process as well.
That's interesting, particularly some of the design services. That strikes me as a bit unusual.
The way that we really view it is in order for us to have a successful sales and marketing campaign, we really need to ensure that we're building the right product for that target market. It makes the sales and marketing really easy, to be honest, if you have the right product. You're not having to spin anything. You can just tell them what it is and what's going to work. So it's actually a pretty big focus for us and our process. It's everything from what is the right unit mix to what is the right spec level to have for that product. What sort of amenities should you have? Should there be a gym? Should there be a movie room? A yoga studio? Whatever it is, we are ensuring that they are building the right product for who we think the target market is.
Excellent. Yeah, that's super interesting. We could talk about that for an hour for sure.
It's actually the part of the job that I enjoy the most.
that's really interesting. So I was going to segue to comparing Kelowna, Okanagan to the lower mainland.
To the lower mainland. Oh my God.
Before we go, like, big picture, like, how are the projects maybe different? I'd be curious to know, like, amenities, unit sizes, some things on that level.
Yeah.
Are there big differences?
There are. I mean, I guess to understand it is you gotta have to look back at like Kelowna's history a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Kelowna before the 2000s, I mean, it was just like a small little resort town, like mm-hmm. known for its vineyards and orchards. I mean, beautiful place, but definitely not a real estate hub.
Right.
And after that, it had its rapid expansion in the early 2000s. That was like through tourism, a lot of retirees came. Mm. And then the 2008 crash happened.
Right.
So everything stopped for everyone. But after that, it did evolve from a resort hub through pretty big investments into their tech industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started to bring in professionals, young families, and that growth has actually been pretty well sustained for the better part of a decade. And a lot of that was through the unaffordability of other urban centers as well.
Yeah.
So Vancouver getting expensive, all the other larger Canadian cities getting mm-hmm. expensive and pushing people to the periphery.
I understand there's a UBC campus that's fairly new in Kelowna as well.
That's right. Yeah. UBCO. And so,
okay.
I mean,
gotcha.
add that to one of the many reasons that Kelowna is starting to become its own center. Like mm-hmm. it has a huge university campus. The investments into the medical industry as well have been significant. So I think there in total, the plan was to add close to about 5,000 medical jobs. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're probably about halfway through that right now. So this is bringing a lot of people to Kelowna for sure. But when you start to compare and contrast the two markets, size is obviously going to be the biggest difference here. You're servicing a town of just over 200,000 people in the central Okanagan versus whatever it is, like 2.5 million people Vancouver, right? And so you're going to get a pretty big difference in affordability as well.
Gotcha.
Average home price, single family home price in Vancouver is around $2 million. Mm. In Kelowna, it's half that, right? I think it's 1.1.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a huge affordability issue. I mean, I think a lot of people who are choosing to move to Kelowna today, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest reasons they're choosing to do it. I mean, take me as a prime example.
Yeah.
Right? A growing family. I want a little bit more space. This is the place to do it.
Great.
But more than anything, I would say lifestyle too.
Yeah.
Right. When I started thinking about that, it's like, it's not just space. It's lifestyle. If you asked me to move to Kelowna 5 years ago, I'd say no way. Right.
What are you talking about?
No way. Yeah. But then you fast forward 2 kids and you start thinking about what sort of upbringing you want for them and think you want it, you know, maybe similar to the way that you grew up. And you can find that here in Kelowna. In Vancouver, if they're hard pressed to find those neighborhoods. And if you do find them, you're probably an hour and a half, 2 hours in traffic away from the center of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the trade-off. There's not as much in terms of like a big cosmopolitan center here in Kelowna. But you definitely get that Okanagan lifestyle.
Nice. Well, it sounds like they've been successful in creating some diversity, having the city be more well-rounded economy and not just so tourism. Or you mentioned retirement dependent.
Very true. I think Kelowna has really good long-term investment potential because of those things, because of mm-hmm. the investment into certain sectors, because of a growing population, the lifestyle appeal. It's in the long term, people are going to continue to mm-hmm. move to Kelowna. Whereas Vancouver, obviously, it has that global appeal. So mm-hmm. it's going to continue to have that big population draw. But the prices are getting really high in Vancouver. Yeah. So the opportunities for investors or even like family investors, smaller mm-hmm. scale investors are going to be a lot harder.
Well, Vancouver is the gateway, I imagine, to a lot of migration. And then are you seeing Kelowna being considered as a place to migrate to as well? Or is Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think when you look at the migration numbers, mm-hmm. Kelowna has been the fastest growing, if not one of the fastest growing cities in Canada for the last 10 years.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. People are starting to see the benefits here. I don't think that is holding true for this past year, but long-term view, it's still going to continue to be a place with a lot of pull factors.
I'd love to hear, have you had a recent project that you could point to, a lesson learned in your short time there in Kelowna?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, the tougher year, but it's about just going back to what you can control, respecting the grind is what I call it, where we're in an industry that can be like so feast or famine. And so in these slower markets, it's just important to go back to what can you control, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're following up with your calls, making sure that you're getting the right product with the right pricing to market, making sure you're staying close to your clients, ensuring that you truly understand what their goals are. And through that practice, the cream does rise to the top. We've seen that with a few of our projects. I think a great example would be a project that we're working on here called Revo. And it's by Millennial Developments. And they are selling really great entry-level product to the market. And they have just been churning through inventory over this year. And now they are down to the remaining studio homes. Really good success story there. Another one was Red Mountain. I think I might have mentioned that before, but that is a project that actually doesn't have a foreign buyer ban, which is another one of those demand side government interventions. So it doesn't have that. Project has found really, really good support from the US market, specifically Spokane. So, Spokane is just 2 hours south of Rosslyn. And so we're seeing a lot of buyers come up and take advantage of that US exchange rate. And another one, and this is a really good example of respecting the grind, is ACE's first flagship product, Water Street by the Park.
Okay.
So that is one, remember, they started selling that back in 2021.
Right.
Sold out the first tower. They're under construction now. Actually, the first tower is already topped off. The second tower has another 10 stories to go. This thing is towering over all of Kelowna. It's getting so much attention now. But again, a bit of a tougher year, so slower year. But the sales team just continued to have the events, go out to brokerages, went to Vancouver, did an event there, just stayed consistent with the process. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting to see all of the fruits of that labor. We, in the last 2 weeks, wrote two or three deals. These deals are coming in at close to $1,300 a square foot. So these are top end prices for the Kelowna market. That's why you stay consistent, because there are so many touch points that these buyers need in this market. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 5, 8, 10 touch points before they even come close to thinking about that purchase decision.
Absolutely. It's a big decision. I imagine you mentioned the inventory. People have choices. Are you finding it takes longer to close as a result?
Yeah. I mean, all of that inventory is in the resale market.
Right.
Right. Sure. And so the pre-sale market, obviously we have probably like anywhere from a 12-month to an 18-month or even sometimes a 3-year lag time, right, between purchasing and moving in. But there are definitely influences. Mm-hmm. When the resale market is doing well, people have more confidence to get into the presale market. A lot of the education that we are trying to do in the market today is telling people that we have today's prices at tomorrow's interest rates. And so it's just an important element that we're trying to educate this market on, which isn't as experienced with presale projects.
Funny how that turns. Like tomorrow, we're pretty confident tomorrow's interest rates will be better.
Fairly. they're trending in the right direction.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Darren. As we wrap things up, is there anything else that's giving you hope for the next year or so, looking in your crystal ball?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're starting to see signs come back in the market. We are definitely seeing that traction. There are a lot of projects that we see on the books for next year. So it means the developers are gaining confidence as well. Mm-hmm. We need to build more homes. That is the true antidote to this affordability problem that we're having here in BC, is that we need to build more. And we've seen time and time again that these demand side measures, they have short-term effects. But in the long run, we see price escalation after this pullback in starts. And this pullback in starts happens when the market goes down, right, and it's always followed by a big, big boom. So,
my fingers are crossed.
That's wood.
Yeah, exactly. For you and me both. Yeah, always a fan of new development, of course.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to mention, because I think it's such an interesting product that we have, and it does try to address the affordability issue, mm-hmm, is a product that one of our clients is launching called Home Plan. So Home Plan by North America Home Finance, they are launching a 1% down rent-to-own program. So unlike other rent-to-own programs where anything that you're putting down, if you leave, you know, you leave that equity behind, with this 1% down program, at the end of your term, whether it's 5 or 7 years, you have the choice to purchase at that point, or you can choose to leave, but you actually get to take a portion of that equity with you. So a very, very interesting program aimed at first-time home buyers, people who are trying to get a foothold in this market. And I really like seeing projects like that. So they have a project in Kelowna that's launching here, Home Plan Five Crossings. And that's just about completing right now.
Yeah, I know it's such a huge barrier for that first time home buyer, both sides of the border, of course. I have to look into that. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, again, thank you so much, Darren. Really appreciate your time and joining us. Tons of insights here. I certainly learned a lot about Kelowna and what's going on up there. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Scott.